Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Glad to have you with us today. And we've got a jam-packed show once again today, so I want to get right to it. We always do a COVID-19 update in the area. And no new numbers to report as of now. I haven't seen the latest update that came in always right at midnight last night. But 108 cases in Floyd County at last report. 117 Clark County residents have tested positive for the coronavirus. 8 Clark County residents have died from the coronavirus or complications from the coronavirus, and 4 from Floyd County have passed away as a result of this virus. So it's an important reminder when you hear deaths and you hear numbers that are expected to continue to go up. I know there are different projections right now about when our state and about when Kentucky will perhaps crest and reach the peak of this virus. Some had said it would be at some point this month. Others now saying sometime in May, but it's important to stay home and beat this thing. Definitely only making essential trips to the store when you've got to, and making sure you're not around crowds of people, really anyone outside of your immediate family. As far as COVID-19's effect on sports go, obviously we expect more things to be canceled. We expect sports to continue to be delayed for some time. No one knows when this is all going to change or when the CDC, who's going to be, I would say, the driving force behind when it's okay to have public events again and what number of public you're going to be able to have at events or sporting events again will come under their directive, I would have to believe. But this is something I saw just before we came on today. In fact, it's like 10 minutes old. The University of Cincinnati, they've discontinued their men's soccer program effective immediately. And there's a full release out from the school. I'm sure there will be a lot of coverage of this. But I bring this up, obviously, Cincinnati, not something we talk about a lot on the show, but with the coronavirus and with March Madness canceled and with college football in limbo and, of course, spring sports canceled as well, it's very clear from a lot of reports out there and from a lot of figures that we've even mentioned on this show, the financial side of college sports is going to take a hit. It's just a matter of how big of a hit they take. And a lot of that, I think, has to do with whether football is played. Is it delayed? Are fans there? Are fans not there? Is it a TV money-only deal? But you're going to see, in my opinion, lots of leaders at colleges, like ADs and even some coaches, have to take pay cuts. And that's happened some. You're going to see at a lot of colleges some of the sports programs eliminated, maybe the ones that are not making any money at all, not bringing in any money at all, as college athletic departments try to figure this all out and get things somewhat in budget, because it is a very tough situation, as it's going to be for businesses and as it will be for governments in many cases. It's going to be very, very tough for universities and especially athletic departments to continue on with business as usual, given everything that's happened so far and given everything that still could happen, depending on when we get back to some normalcy in college sports. So I wanted to mention that. Very unfortunate for those student-athletes on the men's soccer program. I'm sure that there are going to be other – there probably already have been other announcements that we just haven't seen from universities that maybe aren't in our immediate reach. But I think that's going to unfortunately be – about a bad byproduct of this coronavirus and its effect on sports. Also, a little bit more of a positive note here. Someone this morning sent me a story from out in Missouri, but Jawan Morgan, who, of course, is originally from Missouri, from Waynesville, Missouri, set up a deal where he's been giving out free food. He partnered with a local church to feed families with groceries and food during this COVID-19 pandemic, and there was even a picture of him and some others out with signs and trying to create awareness about what they're trying to do to help in that area of Missouri. So hats off to a former Hoosier. I think that doesn't surprise any of us. Jawan Morgan, on and off the court, interviews, whatever it may be, everyone recognizes him as a really, really good guy. So neat to see him stepping up and doing what he can to help people in his home state, which has been hit, as we all have, by the coronavirus as well. Let's jump into the rest of the show. The show lineup, it's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll have some really quick Zaxby's headlines here on the program. Couple of interesting headlines today. Later in the program, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star joins, presented by Coffee Crossing. And then we have part two of our interview today with Mike Broughton, former Jeffersonville coach. He's currently director of the Indiana All-Stars. Yesterday, we talked a lot about the All-Star team and the cancellation of the game. So if you want to hear that, you can find it on our podcast for Monday. But today, we're going to talk about his time at Jeffersonville. And I'm going to ask Coach Broughton something that I've been asked. Coach, did you ever want to come back to Jeffersonville? The job has opened a number of times over the years, and so we've already recorded this part of the show. It's a very interesting answer, so you want to make sure you hear that from Coach Broughton. We'll have that later, and then we'll wrap things up today with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com as we talk IU basketball and recruiting. Visit your local Honey Baked Ham store in New Albany for lunch and dinner options that you can get quickly in a clean and pleasant atmosphere without the crowds and the chaos you'll find at the grocery stores. Honey Baked Ham has several dinner bundles as well as their delicious ham and turkey for takeout. Let's jump into a couple quick Zaxby's headlines. This one coming out just at the top of the hour. Corey Alford, the son of Steve Alford, former IU great and currently the coach at Nevada. Of course, he recruited Trey Coleman of Jeffersonville to join him there. But Corey Alford has been named the head basketball coach at Huntington University, which is located in northern Indiana. They are an NAIA school, so a small college basketball program that Alford is going to lead his first head coaching job. He previously was the director of player development at Nevada this past season. So Corey Alford, an Alford returning to Indiana to coach, a young guy, has had aspirations to coach even since he was in high school. He was a great shooter, as you can probably imagine. He finished his high school career. I believe he was a senior when Steve was still in the state of New Mexico. So he finished his high school career there, competed in the national three-point competition. I don't know if he won it or not, but he was one of the finalists that shot on TV during the Final Four. And he's made his way now to his first head coaching job at Huntington, which is a good program historically in NAI basketball. Another local headline, this is a coaching headline. New Albany Athletic Director B.J. McAllister announced last night that Clarksville girls basketball coach and former South Central standout Shelly Glebe, her maiden name Shelby Miller, she was a great high school player, was approved on Monday night as the new girls basketball coach at New Albany. Coach Glebe replaces Tammy Guerin, who resigned at the conclusion of the 2019-20 season. And of course, now that leaves one big girls opening, although there have been a number of girls openings in the area, maybe not necessarily Clark and Floyd counties outside of the New Albany and Jeffersonville jobs, but a wide swath across southern Indiana, a number of openings in this offseason. But New Albany filled, Shelby Glebe, the new coach. Jeffersonville making progress, I believe, with their girls coaching job, and we'll see if they have an announcement forthcoming on that as well. Another local note, Wiley Brown at IU Southeast, he continues to land a lot of local players. He's always had a lot of Louisville players. He's always had a number of Southern Indiana players on his roster as well. It seems like this year he especially has done well recruiting local players. Trey Horrigan of New Albany committed a few weeks ago, and a player at Salem named Myron Mead, who had a great senior year, he committed last night to IU Southeast. Those are the Zaxby's headlines. Don't forget Zaxby's, with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany, still open through the drive-through for takeout as well, and they bring you the headlines here on the program each day. We'll head to a break. We're back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. We'll be right back.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Welcome back. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star with us. This segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Don't forget the downtown New Albany Coffee Crossing location is temporarily closed. They do not have a drive-through there, but all of the other Coffee Crossing locations open on a daily basis for your favorite drinks and coffee at Coffee Crossing. Greg is with me. Greg always with me Tuesdays here on the program. And Greg, obviously, we continue on with no sports, no live sports, no not even sports news on a daily basis. And it seems like all the sports news we get is something negative related to a postponement or a cancellation, or like I mentioned in the first segment, Cincinnati, the university, dropping their men's soccer program. I think we have some rough days ahead for college sports, but there has been some good. And one of those good things I mentioned in the first segment today was Juwan Morgan, beloved Indiana player, there for 4 years, out in Missouri, working, partnering with a local church to provide food and groceries for families that are out of work and in need during this time. Greg, this COVID-19 pandemic, as bad as it's been, as much as it's affected health and life in some cases, and of course in a much lesser role, sports, it's brought out a lot of good in people in our state, which has been really good to see.
Yeah, and I'm so grateful to see that. It started so badly. I mean, the whole thing is terrible, but the reaction, the human reaction to this at first, a lot of us saw was you can't buy anything you want at the grocery store. There's no toilet paper. There's no water. There's no cat food. So, I mean, it was weird, and that was unfortunate. And I thought, man, this thing's bringing out the worst of us. But, you know, a month has passed, and people are getting their feet under them, and it's bringing out the best in us now. And I'm sure there's exceptions, but things like the Pacers, for example, little stuff, and I love little stuff. I'm sure I've told you that before. Little stuff means a lot more to me than the big stuff. It's the little stuff. That's really where your heart is. And a handful of Pacers employees, broadcast team members, took up a collection among themselves, and they're going to buy a couple meals for all the heroes, the doctors, nurses, and everybody else, orderlies, whoever, at a local hospital. And the only reason I know that is because I was talking to Bobby Slick Leonard, who played for IU back in the 50s, and he's now on the broadcast team. I was actually talking to his wife on the phone, and she just mentioned, you know, have you had any visitors? I said, are there any visitors? She goes, well, yeah, today. And she mentioned a guy from the Pacers came over to collect some money. I said, why? And she told me why. She didn't know she's blabbing a secret. So, I mean, that's a little thing. But, I mean, you're seeing signs take up in little kids in houses all over my city. I bet we're seeing it there, too. Kids are writing signs of hope and putting it in their windows, and people are keeping the distance in grocery stores, and folks are they're just a bunch of small little giving gestures, and big ones too. The virtual tip jar. I've told you every week. I've told you listeners every week. Please, when you get your Coffee Crossing in the drive-through, give them a tip. You wouldn't normally do it. Tip them. There's virtual tip jars all over the country for people that we recognize that servers are out of work or out of tips or both. And so we're just. I mean, nobody has a lot of money right now. I'm coming off a week where I wasn't getting paid, but we all have some little bit. We can help somebody who's got less, and I think we're seeing that now.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing, with us on Tuesdays. I know you also had a chance, and we talked a little bit before the show or texted a little bit before the show, but you had a chance to catch up in this down period with Philip Rivers, Colts quarterback. You had a chance to cover him in college, and I know you're glad to have the opportunity to cover him again.
Yeah, and sometimes you just get really lucky in life with certain things, I guess. A better way of saying this is it can be a small world. And for me, I covered North Carolina State 20 years ago for the Charlotte Observer when they had a little bit scrappy point guard named Ryan Archie Miller, and who's now, of course, my guy with IU, which I'm so happy about. And then Philip Rivers was this freshman out of Alabama that Auburn and Alabama both said, you can come play for us, but you got to be a tight end. And NC State said, well, we think you can throw a little bit, come play for us. And he, you know, the rest is history. So he and I caught up really for the first time. I've spoken to him a few times over the years in locker rooms here and there, but this is the first time we've really spoken. And I mean, it was about him and sports. It wasn't about me or our. We didn't have a relationship, you know. But it was just nice to reminisce. And by the way, there'll be a big Indiana, or at least an Indiana component to the story I write on Rivers, an IU component, because as I was telling him, I mean, I've got a great memory of his first two games because they were shocking at NC State, shocking. And the second game was at IU, and they're down like 10 in the fourth quarter, and he leads them back. And throws a touchdown pass to Corin Robinson late in the game, and then IU's driving for the game-winning field goal or game-tying field goal. I forget that exactly. But Terrence Holt, Torrey Holt's younger brother, blocks the field goal, and IU loses to NC State in Rivers' second game ever, first game on the road. So just it's nice to remember certain things like that with somebody who was there. And he was there. He played. He was there.
Speaking of Archie Miller, Greg, obviously Indiana now, three Mr. Basketballs in a row, with Anthony Leal being named the Indianapolis Star Mr. Basketball when that announcement came out on Friday. We've spent a lot of time on Archie Miller. You've known him for many years. We've spent a lot of time breaking down who he is, his personality, his goals, how he's recruited the state. Very interesting to see that Indiana under Archie Miller, and Zach Osterman told me Monday, for the first time ever, lands three consecutive Mr. Basketballs, and they're going to have an opportunity possibly for number four, with Trey Kaufman being, I would think, an early front runner for that that postseason award at this early point. Not to beat a dead horse or to reiterate a topic that we've covered so much, but Greg, Archie Miller continues to be an ace when it comes to recruiting. He is getting the job done specifically in the state of Indiana. But this out-of-state guys that he has landed and that are on the dockets to come, like even Geronimo, very interesting player. When it comes to recruiting, he has been an absolute ace for this program, and I'm very interested to see as he gets the recruiting classes spaced out, a pretty similar number from senior to junior, sophomore, freshman, members of each class, as he gets all of his players in there, another year to work on his intricacies of defense and other things. With the little steps they've taken on the floor as a team and a program and the big steps they've taken off the floor with recruiting, I'm really interested to see what happens with this program next year. I think they're set up for a pretty good situation.
Yeah, and if you wanted to give him the absolute biggest benefit of the doubt, and I'm not saying that to suggest that we shouldn't, I'm saying that there's a way of looking at this that last year was almost where it began for Archie, or where we can look at it as beginning, or maybe where it's fair to look at it as the beginning. You know, his first year, kind of a wash. Just the first year is, you know, it is what it is. It's not easy. Second year, he's got Romeo, and that's exciting. But then he loses Romeo and Juwan Morgan, that you mentioned earlier, who was a great guy in college. I'm not surprised he's a great guy now. He loses Romeo and Juwan and really has to start over. I mean, last year he started over. That's why I'm saying the last year was almost year one, because when you get a one and done like Romeo and you have a senior like Juwan Morgan and then they both leave, you're kind of starting from scratch in year three, which is what he did, really. And so now he's got all these freshmen from last year and these freshmen coming in this year, and he's got, like you said, the class balance of three or four members in the freshman, sophomore, junior, senior classes. And he is, you know, he's not putting a fence around the state of Indiana. Our state is so powerful with recruits. There's enough to go around. Purdue's not complaining about who they're getting. They got Caleb first, and they're not hurting for in-state recruits either. So there's a lot to go around, but he's got the ball rolling in the right direction. And you can say, yeah, but year four is taking too long. You could say that, or you could say it's kind of year two. I mean, kind of. And let's see where it goes from here.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, my guest this segment presented by Coffee Crossing. I want to close with this, Greg. Another great gesture of a bad thing that's happened during this COVID-19 pandemic. Paul Logan, the Indianapolis North Central longtime athletic director, very active in football, specifically in our state, a very well-known person in the high school sports ranks at a big, big school in Indianapolis. Last night, I saw Kyle Nedenrip. He was all over it with lights on at high school football stadiums and fields across the state of Indiana in his tribute, and really in tribute to, I think, all of the people that have passed away from COVID-19 or complications thereof from the virus. Really special, and again, it kind of gets back to what we opened the segment with. It's a bad thing that's happened, the virus, his death, any death associated with this. but good people, good things come of it, and good remembrances come of it, and good efforts come of it. And it was really cool to sit last night and scroll through my phone and look at all the different fine football stadiums at so many of the high schools in Indianapolis and in all corners of the state, and see them lit in remembrance of one of their own, an athletic director in Indianapolis that's passed away from COVID-19.
Yeah, we're all doing our best to honor people like Mr. Logan and the others who've died, and to really honor the I'm loving the reaction to the doctors and nurses now. They've kind of replaced is the wrong word, but they've now joined firefighters and policemen who were heroes at 9/11. Like they're enjoying that sort of, not celebrity is the wrong word, but you know, that kind of appreciation right now. Look at IU right now. They've all their dorms are clear. They're going to reconfigure a couple dorms and just give the space away to local nurses and doctors. Just give them a safe place to rest and not, maybe not, you know, not bring the virus, with contagious, whatever. They're not going to bring it home to their families. They're going to sleep in IU dorms. And at Purdue, they're letting about 150 kids that are college pharmacy majors. They're going to let them graduate early. I'm sure they've earned it, but they're going to let them graduate early, and the state's going to let them have licensure to act as pharmacists before they actually pass all the tests, just because we need them right now. We have a shortage. So we are seeing the Logan thing. That's heartbreaking. That guy was from, you know, Nedrip knows him really well and knows that Logan was two things. He was all about North Central, and he was all about his family. And so that's two huge losses, and they're not equal. But that's, yeah, I think we're all just doing our best right now to honor, remember, and support. Yeah.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, always fun to catch up. We'll have some live sports at some point to talk about, but we got to get through this thing. Appreciate you coming on and helping us get through another day.
Yep, we'll see you on the other side one day for sure.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Bye, Greg. Always with us Tuesdays, presented by Coffee Crossing. And Greg brings up a great point. Make sure you support Coffee Crossing. Make sure you support any local business, really any restaurant at this time, and give them an extra tip, whether it's a couple extra bucks or an extra five or even a 10 if you can do it, because it is a tough time out there for a lot of businesses, a lot of employees that have seen hours cut back, and I'm sure many of you listening today in some way have had your life affected in a negative impact by this coronavirus. So Greg, always with some uplifting words, appreciate him being with us today, and that will wrap up this segment. Don't forget, still ahead, a lot to go here the rest of the way. We've got Mike Broughton, Indiana All-Stars director, back for part two of his interview. We're going to talk about his time at Jeffersonville and a lot more coming up in the next segment. We'll also catch Mike Pegram at the very end of the program on IU basketball. We've still got our senior spotlight as well. It's Bailey McLean today of Floyd Central High School. She's a softball player at Floyd Central, a senior that unfortunately won't get a senior year because of this COVID-19 pandemic, but we're going to honor her today later in the show on the Hoosier Report. Stay with us. Coach Broughton next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back, and this is part two of an interview with Coach Mike Broughton, former Jeffersonville Red Devil coach, also currently the Indiana All-Star Games Director. And yesterday we had him with us to talk all about the All-Stars, his role with the All-Stars, and of course, ultimately, the All-Star Games being canceled due to the coronavirus in 2020 in June because of the virus that's confronting our country right now. Today, we want to continue our conversation with Coach Broughton, and I'm really interested, I know a lot of you guys are that listen as well, to kind of go back in time and talk with him about his experiences here in Jeffersonville, the program he built with the Red Devils, and obviously the success they had, which was highlighted by a state championship in 1993. Coach, thanks for coming back with us again for part two of this interview, and obviously you had some very, very good years, and I know very fun years of your basketball coaching career that spanned a lot of different stops. But many of those great years, I'm sure you'll tell us, were right here in Jeffersonville.
Well, yes, there was. And I was at Jeffersonville for 10 years, and seems like a long time ago now, 1990 to 2000. And during those years, I guess with the number of good players that I had, we were ended up having the most wins of that decade in the state of Indiana. I think it was 210, and we did lose 40. But I had a gentleman call me that was some historian about a year ago, and he said, "Coach Broughton, do you know that during that time at Jeffersonville that, you know, you only lost 7 home games in 10 years? And so he goes, "What do you think of that?" And I didn't really know that that was the case. But I said, "Well, it looks like to me if I lost 7 at home and 33 on the road, we should add more home games." But we went to the finals in 90. We went to the Semi-State in 90-91, and then we got beat by Richmond in 92. We were up. They hit 2 3-pointers. We were up 6 with a minute to go. And might have been some poor coaching in that, because we should have held on. The one was a bank shot that the guy was 1 for 21. And I even told him in the huddle, "That's the one guy we're not going to guard," because they had Austin and some other really good players. We came back, I think, because we lost in 92. We came back in 93 and, of course, won the state. And then 94 team, that was when Hanley and Norman were seniors. New Albany beat us on a last-second shot. We missed a layup, and then we fouled, and then they went to the finals. And then in 95, we beat New Albany in double overtime. I think we were both, I don't know, we might have been ranked 17th. I think New Albany was ranked 3rd or 4th. And then we went back to the state in 95. And then I think in 96, New Albany goes back. So I guess what I'm saying, from 92 to 96, it was Jeffersonville or New Albany that went to the Final Four. And actually, there's people that talk about that New Albany, Jeffersonville, and Ben Davis were part of the reason they went to class basketball, because the same schools kept coming back. But that was good for us, and so it was a great run, but it was only made possible because I had some really good kids, and there was a great deal of pride in Jeffersonville for basketball at that time.
Coach Broughton, when did you realize – and maybe it was when you took the job, maybe you had some insight there, but when did you realize that Jeffersonville could be a contender for state tournament success in the 90s, like that year after year, maybe even a state championship? Was that when you were looking at the job, when you had followed Jeffersonville, or did that happen maybe after you arrived?
Well, I think, you know, the year before they had been about 500, but Coach Bixler had passed away, and it was a difficult year, I'm sure, for everybody. And Coach Bixler did a great job. He built the program. Of course, there was George Marshall, and then Coach Bixler. Both were excellent coaches. And so there was players there. There was a feeder system. Everything was in place because both of those coaches did an outstanding job. And so I just saw the talent. I saw the youth leagues. I just thought that we could, if you know, we could win the sectional and get out, that I thought we could get to state finals, and that was my goal. And so when I came to the community, I was just going to work hard every day and get the kids to hopefully play together, be unselfish. And so the job was set up for whoever came in. If you could get the wheels rolling in the right direction, that you were going to be successful. And, you know, we were. I had great assistant coaches. I had an administration with Mr. Weber and Mr. Scales that were very supportive. We had a booster club that was second to none. And so all the pieces, once we got going, so in 90, the first year, we lost our first game of the season and won the next 17, and I was playing 2 sophomores and 2 freshmen in the top 7. We knew we had a run going at that time.
Mike Broughton, former Jeffersonville coach. This is part 2 of my interview with Coach Broughton. If you want to catch part 1, look for Monday's podcast. Coach, the Jeff job has come open a number of times in recent years. They've been through a number of coaches at that program. In fact, they are interviewing now for that position for next season. Your name has come up sometime when there has been an opening back with the boys program at Jeffersonville. Have you ever considered a return? Were you ever interested in a return? And do you still have that coaching bug, I guess, in general?
Well, you know, there's been eight coaches since I left Jeffersonville, which doesn't speak highly of what's going on there. Nobody stayed very long. They've had some success, but not to the level that they probably should have with the number of players you have go through there. And I had never really had interest in trying to go back to Jeffersonville until last fall. And I knew I was retired, and they had a situation there where Coach Luce left in September. And I felt a calling. I kind of felt like the good Lord was maybe heading me in that direction. And so I did talk to Mr. Satterlee, called me on the phone, and I did talk to him for the first time and had interest in the job at Jeffersonville. And that was mainly because I felt sorry for the kids. I felt sorry for the program. I kind of felt sorry for the situation that the whole thing was in. And I just knew I could help. And so they did call and talk to me. They kind of wanted, I don't even know who's running that all now and what the deal is, but they wanted me to possibly look at coming back for 4 months. And that would be from November through March, I guess, maybe 5 months. And to just take over because they were in a pickle. And I said, you know what, I will come back to Jeffersonville, which is the first time I ever said that. And I will come back and I will coach the team and I will coach the team. And I had a principal's license. So I just asked for Coach Luce's job. He was an administrator at the school, that I would do that job for 3 years and that I would coach the men's basketball team for 3 years. And I just asked for two different things. I asked one, that I could choose the assistants, and I was going to bring back all the Jeff people that I felt like were part of that historic run that we had. I had people in mind who would be the varsity assistant, the JV coach, the freshman coach. And then at the end of 3 years, I didn't want to have the total say, but I wanted to have a say who became the next coach at Jeffersonville, because I think I could have fixed the program from the bottom up. Just like I did back a few, 25 years ago. And then I also think that I have enough contacts across the state that I could have put the right person in there, and it had probably been a Jeff person of some kind to run that basketball program and keep my eye over it for the next, maybe decade. It needs to be fixed. I thought that for sure, I was almost positive. A number of people found out that I was interested, and so I thought for sure that the powers to be would bring me back. But after that one phone call, they said, no thanks, we're going in a different direction. And so I guess to say that I was surprised, I was very surprised, because I felt like that with the job that I did back in the day, and then with the number of coaches that's been in and out of there, and at the state of where things are at and what people perceive of the program now, I just thought that I could bring the crowds back, get more kids to come out. I think we could have been the running Red Devils. We'd have taken off again like we ran before. I think that this team was a pretty good team they had this year, but I just thought that we could build it back up again. But the powers to be said no, and I was sad for not only the kids, but I guess I was a little sad for myself, because I did want to do it. I felt I was called to do it, but, it just didn't happen. So there's a lot of rumors about, well, he wanted too much money and he wanted this and that, and those were all lies. There was nothing about that. It was just, I was just going to take over Coach Luce's job. I was going to take over the program, and all we were going to do from then was be good to the kids, and we were going to win games. So it's kind of sad, but I guess they passed me up, and I don't know. I guess it's open again, and I don't know what they're going to do, but it is sad that we could have fixed it.
Very interesting stuff. Mike Broughton, Indiana All-Star Games Director, former Red Devils coach, talking about some opportunities over the years with openings. Very, very interesting stuff, Coach. I want to close with this because this is amazing, this next thing I'm going to bring up. You, from some of those good Jeffersonville teams in the early 90s, you had a number of guys placed on the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame, their silver anniversary team that is released each year along with the Hall of Fame class. And I believe that the Red Devils, you can give the details here, but I believe five players from your Jeffersonville teams have been named now to the silver anniversary teams that come out each year. And that puts the Red Devils, as far as history of their program, in some very, very limited company there.
Yeah, over the last 4 years, the Hall of Fame, they picked a silver anniversary team of 17 players. And for that given year, the top 17 players in the state and 12 of them are Indiana All-Stars. And so the starting five for the 1993 team, the starting five for the state championship game against Ben Davis, I had Bixler at the point, and I had Sharon and Flynn on the wings, and then I had Brian Hanley and Corey Norman inside, and they were the starting five. And over the last 4 years, there's been 68 players picked on the silver anniversary team across the state. And of those 68, five of them were these five Red Devils. And then even the year before that, I had Joe Estes that was chosen. So we've actually had six over the last 5 years. But I found out that the five players that started the 93 game against Ben Davis that night, that those five made the silver anniversary team. And in the history of Indiana basketball, it goes back to, I think, 1911. There's only been three starting fives that won the state championships that ever all made the silver anniversary team. And those three starting fives were from Indianapolis Attucks when Oscar Robertson was playing, and then the Marion starting five when they won three state championships in the mid-80s, and then the Jeffersonville Red Devils, which it's an amazing thing. I didn't even know about it. And I was contacted about it. And so it just really says a lot about the program at that time. Brad was a sophomore. Brian and Corey were juniors. And Sharon and BJ were seniors that night when we won the state championship. And so it's quite an honor. It's something that I'm very proud of because we sustained the program. It just wasn't for a couple years. We sustained it for 10 years. And you know, we were ranked in the top 20 in the Associated Press poll from December 1990 until January of 1998. We may have been 17th, we may have been first, we may have been fifth, but there wasn't a week go by for 8 years that the Red Devils weren't in the top 20. And that was when it wasn't like the top 20 of class 2A or 3A or 4A. This was the top 20 back in the day. And so, I don't know, it was just because we had a number of kids that excelled, and there were some really good players, but also I think we had a really hardworking group. We were very unselfish, and I compare those teams. The 92 team might have even been better than the 93. I think they were both about the same. But you take those couple teams, and I don't know, I've not seen a whole lot of teams since that could have beat us. I mean, there probably was a few, but there wasn't many that could have beat us, I think, over the last 20 years because we were solid top to bottom. We had subs. We were scoring 80. We were giving up 50-some. We were pretty solid all the way around.
Mike Broughton, former Jeffersonville coach, currently the Indiana All-Stars game director. Coach, there's so many different things we could talk about, from your involvement with the All-Stars to your travels across the state and, of course, to your time here at Jeffersonville. We need to do this more often, but I really have enjoyed catching up with you. It's a two-part series, part one Monday, part two today on Tuesday. I hope that we can do this more often, and I appreciate your time and willingness to come on with us today.
Well, thanks for all you do for Indiana high school basketball. You've done a great job. I knew you when you were very young, and you always had this on your mind, and you've been a leader across the state in what you're doing.
Thank you very much, Coach. Again, Mike Broughton, our guest, a two-part series. If you missed part one on Monday, go to our podcast on Apple Podcast or SoundCloud and you can find that there. And we'll have Coach Broughton back from time to time to talk about All-Stars. And really, he's a good resource to have because he's traveling the state of Indiana, taking a look at all these prospects, even the underclassmen, as he's preparing and working to have the Indiana team ready each year to win in their series against Kentucky. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll be back with more. You're listening to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment, a quick interview with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com coming up here in just a moment. Also, our senior spotlight for a spring sport athlete here in Clark and Floyd counties that unfortunately will not have a senior year because of this pandemic we're in. And today we're going to spotlight at the end of the show Bailey McLean, a Floyd Central High School softball player for the Highlanders. Mike Pegram is my guest as we wrap things up today. Mike, I want to start with Coach Calipari of UK having a little Coffee with Calipari Facebook Live session during this pandemic to connect with fans and have some different guests. And he had Mark Cuban, IU graduate, owner of the Dallas Mavericks, on with him yesterday. And interesting, coming from that conversation between these two was Mark Cuban kind of pushing the conversation towards a return to the IU-UK series in men's basketball, in kind of a joking way, offering up his American Airlines Arena in Dallas to be a neutral site, but then kind of pushing Calipari into a chat about why not get into a home-and-home, and let's have it, make it one of the first college basketball games when things restart, and maybe donate money to a charity. But it's very clear, at least from what I take of the situation, not just the interview yesterday that Calipari or the Facebook Live that he had yesterday, but just in this whole situation with IU UK, a home and home series not happening, it's clear to me that Calipari does not want to play at Assembly Hall, that he does not like the IU fans, and apparently something happened that he just thinks that they were treated very bad the last time they were in Bloomington. Obviously, we know how the game ended. That wasn't a great ending for Kentucky, but any insight on this? He seems adamant that he'll never play a home-and-home series with Indiana, which is just one of the great rivalries in college basketball.
Now, as far as I know, man, it just had to do with the stampede at the end of the game and not feeling a safe environment. But maybe there's something else to it, because he does he's not gotten over that. I mean, it was kind of a once-in-a-50-year kind of finish, you know, and that's not going to likely happen ever again, at least for one of his teams if they go there. But he seems only interested in maybe playing it if it goes to a neutral setting.
That was going to be my next question. Do you think at some point we almost have to see this series return, whether it is at a neutral setting? I think fans want it. I think Kentucky fans want it. I know Indiana fans want it. The coaches have a good relationship, a good connection. I think you could say that Coach Crean and Coach Calipari had a good relationship as well, although Archie and his family, their connection goes pretty deep back to Pittsburgh and Pennsylvania. It's a deep connection there. Do you think at some point, even if it's a little bit down the road, do you predict that this series comes back?
Yeah, I think it will, though I don't know if it'll be an every year thing. Schedule has become so tight with the 20-game Big Ten schedule and the Gavitt games being added along with the ACC challenge for Indiana. The timing just really makes it tough, but I do think a lot of people want to do it on both sides. So you could see it started on neutral sites for maybe a couple years, and then they'll look to see if they can possibly renew it. But, I think that Archie Miller is a guy that's got along with Calipari and going to go back to Western Pennsylvania. You also have a new athletic director coming in for Indiana. Fred Glass was kind of entrenched in that Tom Crean and, on the breakup and wanting it to be on campuses. Now you have a new athletic director coming that might be more open. So I do think it'll happen, but I don't know how soon. But they are, the things are moving a little bit there, I guess.
MikePegram, Pegs.com. One of the other questions in this down period for sports that I get when it comes to IU, yeah, there was a little blip a week ago with recruiting. Some offers went out. Logan Duncombe commits to the program. But people are really geared in on Christian Lander. I think a lot of people, he's close. He's from Evansville. He's nationally ranked. He was recruited by a number of different schools. I get lots of questions. Any update from him on, is he going to be able to pull off this reclassification and actually go to Indiana at some point this summer when the team reports back to campus, whenever the campus is open back up, I guess, and they start their off-season conditioning? A lot goes on in that summer period. With the pandemic and with e-learning and with summer school at colleges canceled, you would have to think there's probably a good chance there isn't summer school at high schools. And I know there was always mention that Christian needed to get a couple things done in summer school to get ahead and be able to graduate basically 1 year early. Is it possible still? Or, I mean, and I know you probably don't know the answer to this, but is it possible for someone to reclassify with school not meeting in person, on e-learning for the rest of the year in the entire state of Indiana? And I think likely the feeling is that summer school could be the very same way or not happen. How could this affect his ability to reclassify? Have you guys put a lot of thought into that? Any feel on it? Is he still pushing to reclassify?
Well, I think what's enabling him to reclassify is taking some online coursework in addition to the normal stuff in class that he was taking. And that was already initiated. It wasn't like it's a summer classwork, online classwork, or summer situation. So I think he was actually on his way to doing it. It's a difficult task, but I assume that that's still ongoing because it was online and not in person. So I think he should be all right. It's not like Race Thompson to get in early had to take several classes. So we kind of held off and, you know, I'm really saying that was definitely going to happen. He had to get stuff done in July and August, but Christian Lander is something that I think should be done by June, unless this COVID thing has, I'm not sure what exactly is going on at Evansville High Schools, but I think his situation is a little bit different and a little bit more conducive to still being getting the necessary coursework done.
Mike, final question for you, and you can answer this however you want. You don't have to go into a lot of detail if there is any potential. But the other question I get, is there going to be any departures from this team that if Lander does reclassify, Indiana would currently for next season be maxed out with scholarships? Any opinion on, are there departures? Is there a potential transfer as we get into the middle of April from this team for next season?
A few weeks ago, I might have said probably, but we're already to mid-April and there's no news. You know, I think that always the drop-dead date for me has always been early May on transfers because that's the end of the semester. But anybody who's, if wants to leave would have probably, and when it was definitely leaning that direction, would have already announced because that, you know, the longer you wait, the fewer options you have of where to go next. But, you know, there's 2 or 3 weeks left and somebody still could be on the fence. But it seems much less likely today than I would have thought a month ago.
Absolutely. Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Mike, as always, thanks for the chat. We'll do it again next week.
All right. Talk to you then, guys.
Time to wrap up the program with our senior spotlight for spring athletes. These athletes we've been featuring have essentially had their final season, their senior season, taken away due to the COVID-19 pandemic. It's been a lot of fun to get to know some of these athletes. We've had all sorts of submissions and still taking submissions of seniors across Clark and Floyd County to recognize here on the program. But today, we're going to focus on Bailey McLean of Floyd Central High School. Bailey, a softball player at Floyd Central, a two-time Hoosier Hills Conference champion and a one-time sectional champion on the softball team at Floyd, and she's been on varsity for all 4 years of her high school career, which is impressive, starting all the way back to her freshman year of school. Academically, Bailey is a straight-A student, and as far as hobbies, loves hanging with her friends, and also really enjoys being outdoors as well. She wanted to give some shout-outs. We always give athletes the chance to thank people, coaches, others that have been involved in their development, and she's got a long list of people she wanted to say thank you to. Coach Sean Payne, he's the head coach of Floyd Central Softball, Taryn Thomas, Chad Stengel, Bobby Rourke, Chelsea Jordan, Troy Striegel, Gabby Jenkins, just some of the people she wanted to say thank you to for supporting her throughout her time as a softball player at Floyd Central. Bailey McLean is the daughter of Matt McLean and Don Missy. She's going to continue her education at Indiana University Southeast as a student there. And Bailey, we salute you, a four-year varsity player on a very competitive softball program in the area and in the state like Floyd Central is a big accomplishment. And like we've said to all the athletes that we've recognized, we are so sorry that you don't get a senior year. You've worked for it. You deserve it. Big things were ahead for you and the team this season, but we wanted to do our small part in recognizing you for your hard work, accomplishments, both on the field and in the classroom over the years. So Bailey McLean of Floyd Central, our senior spotlight for today. We salute her again for her work and efforts and success all the way around at Floyd Central High School. That's going to wrap things up for this Thursday edition of the Tuesday. I'm ahead of myself. Tuesday edition of the program. On our Wednesday program, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic joins. We're going to talk about a lot of movement in the Big Ten Conference with him. Also on Wednesday, we'll have New Albany Mayor Jeff Gahan. He will join us for a chat about the city's response to the COVID-19 pandemic. And then later in the show on Wednesday, Josh Cook, the sports editor of the News and Tribune, he's with me on the show as well, presented by Major League Shirt Company. That wraps it up for today. Have a great Tuesday. Stay home, stay healthy, stay safe, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.